Stuart. I'm from Ebenezer Church, Ebby, up in Hawfields. I'm actually at the same time speaking there now as well. So we have a pre-recorded online service, so that's happening right now, which is, but I've also spoken in our in-person service early this morning on the screen. So I have no idea which building I'm in, to be honest. So, but yeah, I'm really grateful for the welcome here this morning as well. And today we're going to be looking at this passage from Ephesians, which is really going to challenge our hearts, our motives, and our mindsets, and particularly about what is it to be a church that is united and diverse. And I'm speaking a week after over half the country watched the football last Sunday evening. Watched England lose, and if you are a football fan, you were no doubt to be gutted. But actually, for most of us, we were gutted what we woke up to the next day, and seeing that horrific online racial abuse that was seen across our newspapers, that we witnessed to those who missed those penalties. It came to light again that although people say, many people would say we're a post-racist society, we are far from that. And this is brutally unjust. And for myself, I responded really kind of angrily, I guess. Kind of God's kind of, this is still not right in our society. And there was something that that resonated with me about what God says right throughout Scripture. And we read it back in Amos, in Amos 5. It's just one glimpse of this verse where it says, "Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream." If our heart is, as church, is to worship God, to be a people who are worshippers, then we cannot separate worship from justice. And that's quite a full-on jump into a talk. I recognise that. But that's the culture that we're in at the moment. That is our society. But we as church, as already been prayed, are called to be a church that sees kingdom breakthrough in our society, and particularly around where we are not united and where we are not diverse, but also within our own church. So most people believe that this letter to the church in Ephesus was written by the Apostle Paul. It was written whilst he was in prison in 62 AD. And it was sent to this church in Ephesus, which was kind of in the area of ancient Greece, but actually is now modern Turkey. And Paul wrote quite a lot, as most of you may know, but I'm not making any assumptions, wrote a lot of letters to early Christians. And often it was specific situations, sometimes explaining or reminding them of things that he had taught, sometimes dealing with internal fights that were going on in church, not sometimes physically, but often kind of that discussion that was going on, correcting theology, correcting action. But this letter to the Ephesians wasn't really like that. This letter to the Ephesians was a bit deeper. What I love about this letter is about Paul is encouraging the Ephesian church to understand God's grace, God's undeserved favour and love for all people. And it makes it clear that that Jesus gives us that opportunity to have a relationship with our Father God, to be Lord of our lives, and to be Lord of our relationships with each other. And we're going to look particularly, what does that look like to be a church that is united, but a church that is also diverse? Now keep in mind in this passage that we've already heard read this morning, keep in mind that there was a divide in that culture between the Jews, the people of God in the Old Testament, and the Gentiles, everyone else. It wasn't small, it wasn't shallow, it wasn't simple. It was huge, it was complex, and it was deep. Kind of sounds like our society today. Huge, complex, deep divisions between the church and what is the rest of the world. The Jews knew they had the one true God. The Christian Jews knew that his son, the Messiah, was Jesus Christ. So the divide was also cultural and social. So Jews were really into the ceremonies and the practices of circumcision, dietary requirements, cleanliness. These were all designed to set the Jews apart from the Gentiles. It was part of their history, their redemptive history that we see right through the Old Testament. So there was that divide that was cultural, that was religious, but there was a big divide that was racial. And we see in verse 11, Paul is speaking in this passage and in this letter to the Gentiles, where he says, "Therefore, remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth." He's speaking to the Gentile audience. And he's saying, Paul's speaking and he's saying, up to now, what they've seen is viewed by that the Gentiles are outside of God's covenant. But now they are in God's covenant. And some of those Jews, some of those followers, even followers of Jesus, are saying that actually they're not. And Paul is wanting to challenge them about that. And particularly in this passage about circumcision. Now, I'm not going to physically go into the details. Don't want to make this place awkward. But actually, it was a dividing thing for these early Christians. The Jewish followers of Jesus felt that Gentile followers had to be circumcised if they were to be welcomed into family. And actually, if you read in Acts 15, go and have a look at it afterwards, the apostles and the early church elders actually made that decision, led by the Holy Spirit, not out of human kind of decision-making, but led by the Spirit. They decided that the circumcision was no longer a requirement to be part of God's family. It was breakthrough. However, this kind of resonates in churches, and it certainly does in my church. Sometimes we hold on to something in the past and stubbornly hold on to that, even though a decision has been made. And some people were still holding that circumcision was a requirement to become a Christian, to follow Jesus. And Paul's frustrated at this. He says a little bit more in the book to the Galatians. He's frustrated to see this division happening. And let's be honest, this kind of encourages me in some ways, because it reassures me that even in the early church, who we often look at, and as churches nowadays, we look at and we think, we want to get back to that model, those things they did, the practices, the model of the early church. Even there, they got things wrong. They had heated debates of the whys, the hows, and the whats of faith and practice. How easy is it to be set off track? How easy it is to not do what we're called to be and do as church? And that is the first kind of challenge I want to throw in there. Paul goes on to talk about that separation between the Jews and the Gentiles and how Jesus has come to remove that separation. All people to be reconciled, all people reconciled and united in him. It says he breaks the dividing walls. We are one family, a new humanity, called to live in unity. And God will reside with us. That is revolutionary. That would change everything. It still would. God's kingdom here on earth is a kingdom of unity. This means in our church, in this church, and between churches. But why is it so often we look at what divides us? And Paul even here is encouraging the church there in Ephesus to look at what unites, not what divides. When you come to know Jesus, I don't know hardly anyone here, actually. I used to work with Dan about 25 years ago. Scary. I mean, he looks it, I don't. But I don't know anyone here. I don't know if you have a relationship with Jesus. I don't want to assume that, but I know that when you know Jesus, you are rescued. You are brought back into a relationship with God when you belong to God's family. Whatever's gone in the past in our lives, you belong. You are blessed, you are chosen, you're redeemed, you're adopted, you're accepted, you're forgiven. All those things, when you come to know Jesus, you become part of his family, reconciled into his family. That is something to shout about. That is a place of unity. That is what the world needs to see. God's kingdom is about unity. Nicky Gumbel, who started the Alpha Course, I know you guys run the Alpha Course for many years here. The Alpha Course is running in over 100 countries around the world, all the major denominations of the world, from Greek Orthodox to the Charismatic Church, from the Catholic Church to the Pentecostal Church. In every denomination, it's happening around the world. And Nicky Gumbel said this at a leadership conference a few years ago. Unity is not doctrinal, but relational, modeled by the Trinity and all about Jesus. What unites us is infinitely greater than what divides us, he said. And unity is not given to us as an optional thing. It was Jesus' last prayer before he was crucified. And it still is his prayer now. He is interceding for us and praying for our unity so that the world will believe. We live in a divided world which demands a united church. The good news is that we don't have to champion unity alone. Unity comes from the Father, who is the key to the transformation of society. That's a challenge to us. A challenge to us as a church, because it matters for the world. Later on in this, which I think you'll be covering in a few weeks' time, or in the book of Ephesians, Paul reminds us himself in Ephesians chapter 4, as a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling. Be completely humble, gentle, be patient, bearing one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Paul is, he keeps saying this. And when in scripture, when it keeps repeating, then I kind of suggest that we need to kind of open up and listen to this, because God is wanting to say something. Also wants to remind us, because we quite easily forget stuff. And I want to say, in Bristol, I've been in Bristol now for quite a while. I know for Alma, I've been involved with, some of you know this, with BISC, Bristol International Student Centre, chair that charity, and been involved there for 25 years. I know you guys here have supported that. That is an amazing kind of demonstration of unity across this city. And you have been part of that and stepping into that. But over this last year, we have seen some incredible demonstrations of unity in Bristol where the church has taken the lead. The church has worked together for decades, but in the last year, we've seen some incredible stuff. We've seen church-based food banks tackling food insecurity and ensuring no one goes hungry. I'm involved in the North Bristol Food Bank up in Hawfield. And in 2020-21, that financial year, we fed 15,370 people just in that part of North Bristol. We had 163 tons of food generously given. Now, I know there are different food banks across the city, but there's something how the church has led the response for a huge need in our city. That is something to celebrate. Back in the beginning of March 2020, lockdown happened. A number of foster carers had to shield. There was a desperate cry for foster carers across the city. The church stepped up to the mark and provided foster carers in immediate need in our city. It was the church that stepped up. Volunteers have been involved and were kind of encouraged through the Bristol Noise Charity to volunteer, not just in Christian charities, but in all charities across the city. The church was motivated, enabled, encouraged, and stepped out. There was something of coming together. It wasn't one church. It was the church in Bristol. And we can celebrate that, but I suggest that it's not Paul's time for that. That's the time where we actually move into more of that. That's what it means to be a united church, to see a transformation of our society. Unity, however, doesn't mean uniformity. The body of Christ is made up of different parts. We know that verses. And we need to embrace diversity within it. God's kingdom is also about diversity. And this passage in Ephesians unlocks the need to embrace and push into diversity. Now, this could be a bit uncomfortable. One of my favourite little quotes that I have to say to myself often is, God is pretty good at disturbing the uncomfortable and comforting the disturbed. And I realise that there's so much that can be touched on here about diversity, but I just want to focus on that racial diversity that is highlighted within this passage. That probably, when I was thinking about this weeks and weeks ago, I didn't know what was going to happen in the week before I was going to speak here. Jesus' purpose, stated in verse 15 here, was to create in himself one new humanity out of two, thus making peace, bringing God's shalom to our society, in our churches. And as followers of Jesus, we're called to respond too. That means, as we prayed already, addressing issues of injustice. We've all seen the news. We've seen what happened with the killing of George Floyd. Some of us have blanked it. We said it's now political. But no, this is a justice issue. This is not a one-off thing. This is something, not a tragic, isolated incident. But together in unity, we need to lean into what the biblical role, I started by saying, worship without justice is just noise. We need to lean into that biblical role as Christians to dismantle structural racism and unjust systems. And that means, this is where it's uncomfortable, that means making sure that we listen to black and ethnic minority voices, but also actively saying, Holy Spirit, I'm opening myself up. I'm going to lament. I'm going to repent. And then I'm going to press repeat. And I'd encourage us to do that individually. It's not easy. But find ways to do that together. We've heard phrases like unconscious bias. I know it's a phrase I never even heard of until 18 months ago, a couple years ago. But realizing that inside me, I have an unconscious bias where there is something within inside me that is focused, that is not on God's heart. And God's kingdom, through Jesus, moves us into a place of diversity. Paul says in verse 19 in the Message translation of Ephesians, you no longer are wandering exiles. The kingdom of faith is now your home country. You belong here with as much right to the name of Christian as anyone. Jews and Gentiles, one home country. You belong, everyone belongs. Now we need to be better at doing this as churches, because it's for ourselves, but also because it overflows into society. And one of the things I've been reflecting recently is, for myself, and I think for many other, and you might not be relevant to you, but this internal judging thing is something that we're all wrestling with over a pandemic. And I'd say this, so you walk into a supermarket and you see somebody without a mask on, and immediately something happens in your head. You know, you make that a bigger kind of thing. What about these issues of injustice? What internal judgments is going on inside me? There's something that we need to kind of go back to God and self-examine with the led by the Holy Spirit. Lament, repent. There's something that God wants to do in us. And we want to use that as an opportunity rather than pull ourselves apart. Use it as an opportunity to move forward. Chin McDonald, who recently wrote a controversial book called God is Not a White Man, a few months ago said this: many black communities have kept the faith even in the face of unimaginable horror and injustice, recognizing in the biblical narrative a story of God who sides with the oppressed rather than those who hold on to a power that corrupts. Whilst it is more than one conviction to end injustice, we wait to see if this is a watershed moment when talking about George Floyd's death, the turning point that we have longed for. But we can't rest, because echoing the Old Testament prophet Amos, Martin Luther King said, we are not satisfied and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like rivers and righteousness like a mighty stream. God's heart is a kingdom of unity, a kingdom of diversity that starts in our churches, that overflows to our communities. But what we see through this passage and see right throughout Ephesians, as I started this morning saying, that it comes back to Jesus. The vision is Jesus. The vision is Jesus and his kingdom. Jesus dying for us. Jesus' blood shed for us, as we read in verse 13. It brings us back to being reconciled to God. Jesus brings us back. Rebuilding his church with Jesus at the foundation. Jesus is the cornerstone. Going back to our roots. The vision is Jesus. And there's a lot of talk about rebuilding. It's like this new buzz phrase. It seems to say it a lot in Isaiah about rebuilding. But nowadays it's a kind of a phrase that we're throwing out there all the time at the moment. But this is an opportunity for the church to listen, to lament, to repent, to change, and demonstrate to the world that the vision is Jesus. And I want to take an opportunity, just as before we maybe have a closing song, to pause. And I've deliberately left lots of questions and opened maybe a can of worms, I don't know. Because I feel that God is wanting us to not just hide away from this stuff, but he wants to bring us forward. And that's not any of us pointing fingers at anyone else, or me pointing fingers anywhere, but saying, God, will you come, Holy Spirit, and change my heart? Because I am desperate. I'm not just going to enjoy this ride to heaven. I want the rest of the world to come with me. And if that means me doing some self stuff and letting go of stuff, this world needs Jesus. So let's just pray. Now we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Where we feel uncomfortable, but we don't know why. Where we feel uncomfortable and we do know why. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are there to change us, to move us forward. That we would be a church with our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And would you lead us to be a church and churches that are united and diverse? Not for the sake of us, but for the sake of this world that needs to know you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for your grace to us, that undeserved love and favour you demonstrated through sending your Son, Jesus, to die for us. And demonstrate that Christ, you are Lord, and you have, as we have declared already this morning, overcome all darkness. We follow you, Jesus. We follow you. In your name we pray.